Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com.
The message I've got today is part of a series that we're going to do. And I believe that it's so relevant for this time. The message I've got is, I've entitled it, Peace in Troubled Times. And unless you've been living in a cave or living as a hermit in some obscure place, you may have noticed that there's troubled times in the world, that there's things happening now that's never happened before. And these statistics are showing that even those who have been brought up in religious environments, that have been brought up in, we could say, Christian environment, are falling away. And the Bible says that will be a sign of the time. There'll be a great falling away. There'll be a great apostasy. But also in the times of great apostasy is a time of great revival. So when things are tough in the world, that's when greater revival comes, because people are worried. People are sick with worry. Some people, the people are stressed. People don't know what the end is going to be. People think, well, I've made this investment of my life and I'm not seeing the returns on it. Well, that's not God's way. God's way is that we would receive his promises, that we would walk in his promises, and that we would claim those promises, and that we would make the difference. Amen. So even although we're in troubled times, let me just pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Father, that your word is life to those that find it, and health and healing to all the flesh. Father, I thank you for the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that accompanies your word, Father, and that everyone in here, Father, their spirit, their mind would be renewed and their spirit would be excited and challenged, Father, to go forward, Father, and do all that you have called them to do, that people would hear, Father. Your word says in Revelations 2 that those who have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Father, I thank you that the ears of a people in this place are open to hear, Father. Your word says in Matthew 13, but blessed are your ears, for they hear. So, Father, I thank you that they wouldn't just hear my voice today, but they'd hear the voice of the Spirit, Father, speaking to them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we know in Matthew 16 that Jesus says, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. Well, the number one key, the number one key, say the number one key. The key to real and everlasting peace, which will lead you through life and into everlasting peace. Peace is something that the world is craving, and not a fleshly type of peace. You know, when I was younger and I didn't know Jesus, what I used to do is I used to come home from work, and if I had a hard day, I would put on the ELO. You all know what ELO is, Electric Light Orchestra. And I would sit there or lie there in the carpet in front of this and listen to the Electric Light Orchestra. Okay, I'm fessing up. So that was what I did, because it gave me, it brought peace into my mind with me. It's something that I used to relax myself. But that's a kind of mental, physical peace. That's that peace. I could go to work the next day, and the next morning, immediately on the way to work, somebody cuts you off or something happens on the road and your peace is gone again. I may be just talking to myself here today, but if that is your situation, you don't have a peace that passes all understanding. You don't have the peace of God. That peace of God isn't changed by circumstance. The peace of God should not be changed by circumstance. And the key is to have that peace that will take you right from where you are now to the place of eternal peace, everlasting peace. The Bible says this in Isaiah 59, verse 8, in the New Living Testament. They don't know where to find peace. They don't know where to find peace. That's a struggle. Where do you find peace? You know, I go to the movies. I watch this program. You know, that really relaxes me. When I want to chill out, I sit in front of the telly all day or whatever and catch up on EastEnders or whatever. And that's what gives me peace. No, people are looking for peace and they don't know where to find peace. And we've got a message to the world that we can help people find that peace that they need. And it goes on to say, or what it means to be just and good. They have mapped out crooked roads and no one who follows them knows a moment's peace. You see, the world's peace is like a crooked road. It's up one moment, down the next. You're all over the place looking for peace. We live in a materialistic society. Some people can't be happy. As you drive along the streets some days of the week, you'll see sweets, sweets, three-piece sweets out in the street. You'll see there's more refurbishment work being done in houses. We've got a neighbour that almost looks as though the joiners, the plasterers, the kitchen fitters, the bathroom fitters are never, and this has gone on for years. It's people, they just want change. I'm not satisfied with that suite and I want another suite. You know, I need another dress, I need another jumper, I need another suit, I need another shirt, I need the latest shoes, I need. Am I speaking to the right people this morning? And John Osteen used to say, you don't need it till you see it. So it's like when you walk into the supermarket for a loaf of bread and you come out with a basket full of stuff that you didn't need, it's because you didn't need it till you saw it. Don't send your husband shopping because he'll come out with even more. So it's that peace that it's a crooked road. It's, you don't have a moment's peace because you're looking in the wrong place. Daniel 11:32 in the New Living Testament says, maybe could we put up Daniel 11:31 before I read Daniel 11:32? It says, his army will take over the temple fortress, pollute the sanctuary, put a stop to the daily sacrifices and set up the sacrilegious objects that cause desecration. Now, Daniel 11:32. He will flatter and win over those who have violated the covenant, but the people who, this is the key, the people who know their God will be strong and will resist him. You see, the enemies come to mess up the temple or to mess up the church of God. The enemy's main thing is to break down unity in the church of God. It's to take peace out of the church of God. It's to change it from a spiritual place to a physical situation where your mind and everything's involved instead of your spirit being involved. But the secret is for those who know their God. But the New King James Version says, but the people who know their God will be strong and carry out great exploits. So the number one key to peace is knowing our God. The number one key to peace is knowing our God. Is knowing God. We were blessed last week when Pastor Tom was here. I love to have my pal here. And I had him here for 7 days. The occasion of him and I putting laying his mother to rest and everything else was for by a side issue compared to the time I had with him. The times we have together, we're discussing things of exploits. We're talking about what he's doing in his ministry, what we're doing, and what we hope to do. I mean, he's speaking in a big church in South Africa today. It's got many thousands of people in the church, and he'll speak just the same way as he spoke to us last week. But God's plan is for us to carry out great exploits. Not wee exploits, but great exploits. And he says we will be strong, and that strength comes from knowing who he is. Amen? It's from knowing who he is. I want to just read you something from Dr. S.M. Lockeridge. The S.M., this is his first and second name, Shadrach Meshach Lockeridge. How could someone like that not do great exploits when your mammy says, Shadrach, come for dinner, come in, Shadrach, or Meshach. You know, I'm sure she didn't use his middle name all the time. He lived from 1930 to the year 2000, and he was a pastor in San Diego in California. And he had a sermon, and this was part of the text in 1976. He says, and he was describing his God. He knew his God, and you maybe have heard this before. The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. He is the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that's ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength to the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent and he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him out of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, and they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Well, that's my king, my king. Amen. Hallelujah. I wonder if you know him. Glory to God. Knowing God is the most important thing to us as Christians. We need to know our God. The word know means to be intrinsically part of him. You know, they use the word know in the Bible, like Adam knew Eve. So it was when someone knew someone, they were sexually joined together. They were intimately joined together. Are you with me? So when you know someone, you're intimately joined together. Last night, I was speaking to my wife on a couple of occasions. She says, I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. She knows me. I know her. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? When you've been together with someone for so long, you know each other. Isn't that right? And that's the way it is with God. We've got to know who God is. We've got to know Him, trust Him, and love Him for who He is. Amen? You know, we have to set aside religiosity. Or we have to set aside those things that we think we must do this to get that. No, God loves us unconditionally. God is an unconditional love. He loves us with a love that is incomprehensible. His love towards us is incomprehensible. We got to know that love so that we can know His peace. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, since we have been made right, we have been made right in God's sight by faith. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. What has He done for us? He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. He saved us. Ephesians says, not by works that we have done, but by grace through our faith. So it's not by works, it's by His grace that we receive by faith that salvation. Amen. That's what He has done for us. He has done everything for us. He did it in Calvary's cross. You just read Isaiah 53. You see that He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. He took all our unrest. And in Matthew 6, don't worry about these scriptures. Matthew 6, He says, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have enough cares for itself. So He's saying worry is something that we shouldn't do. Amen? Because if He has done it all for us and we trust God and we know God, we won't be worried about where our supply will come from. We won't be worried of anything that happens in a turmoil and in a riotous and a terrorist in a war-torn situation. You won't be worried. Amen. Because you know your God. And you know that God's protection is divine. And Paul says, even if it isn't, even if I die, it's better to die and be with the Lord. That's the power of the of salvation. That even if we are killed, we go to be with the Lord. Even if we're martyred one day, we go to be with the Lord. We spend eternity in peace. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome that that God has done all this for us? And verse 2 goes on and says, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of, undeserved privilege where we now stand. Undeserved privilege. Do you understand undeserved privilege? It's something that we didn't deserve. We get privileged just because that we have received salvation. We are privileged, and it's an undeserved privilege, not something we could have done. We couldn't pay for it. We couldn't try and get to where God is, but He came to where we are. I think, church, if we understood salvation, that salvation is not just mentally assenting to receive Jesus Christ into our life, but it's a change that happens in your inner man where you receive Jesus and you get to know the Holy Spirit who indwells you, and the Holy Spirit who indwells you then reveals Jesus to you, reveals God the Father to you, reveals the love of God. I'm jumping ahead a wee bit, but Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my firm, immovable rock and redeemer. That's from the Amplified. But let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be all about you, Lord. Be all about that undeserved privilege that I have. Church, we shouldn't be lacking in any good thing. We aren't lacking in any good thing. We just haven't received the good things that God has privileged us to have, that undeserved privilege. Is anyone hearing me this morning? This is an undeserved privilege that we have. He gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We haven't received it yet because we don't know our God. If you know your God, the Bible says that you would charge a troop and jump a high wall. If you know your God, you would charge hell with a dry, wet water pistol. Do you know what I'm saying? You wouldn't be afraid of demons. You wouldn't be afraid of anything that would come along. I remember a time I went to Nigeria. If anyone's ever been to Nigeria, you know how intimidating it is just to walk through the airport coming off a plane, and it used to be you go down into this small place where you go to passport control, and there's an escalator that comes down. There's only one way, and it's down this escalator. Well, hundreds of people just keep coming. It's like the Hillsborough disaster, you know. It's just all these people keep coming down the stairs, and by the end of it, you're standing like that. You can't move. When you get to the passport control, they give you such a hard time. And then by the time you get through all the formalities and get outside, there's thousands of people waiting, and they're all shouting and screaming and everything. It's really intimidating. You get there late at night. And I get there late at night, and the church that I was going to had sent a driver, sent someone to collect me, and they never saw me. Get the picture. Africa, white face, graying hair. They never saw me. So there's nobody there. Everybody's gone, and I'm still twiddling my thumbs. You know, it's like there's nobody coming for me. Nigeria airport, getting near midnight. Not a great place to be when you know all the stories of what happens to travelers in Nigeria. So I think, well, I've got to do something. And there's a car, they don't let the taxis on the front of the airport. So there's a taxi rank away about half a kilometer off the airport in a really dark place. So I think, get a taxi. And you get in the picture here. The wee white boy pulling a bag along, going towards the taxis. And I get there, and all I see is wee red lights. Because they're all hanging around, loads of, and then all of a sudden the red, all these wee red lights are round about me. It's so dark you don't even see the whites of their eyes or anything. You're getting this, and it's like, okay, peace, got to take command of this situation, right? So I say, right, who's going to take me to Bishop David Oyedepo's church? Who knows where Bishop David Oyedepo's church? I'm really forcefully shouting this. And this guy says, I'll do it. So I said, you know where he is? Yeah. Okay, you're doing it. And I get in the taxi. Well, the guy hadn't a clue where Bishop. So we stopped about 7 different places where he knew there was a spiritual person living. And he would go and knock the door in the middle of the night in the black, dark streets of Nigeria. But I never lost my peace. I got to David Oyedepo's about 1 o'clock in the morning. And Bishop David came, and he was profoundly apologetic. But in the whole thing, I never lost my peace. And peace is important when you're in those situations, because peace repels the attack of the enemy. Fear attracts the enemy. So if you lose your peace in these situations, you can lose more than your peace. Amen. So you've got to be in control of your atmosphere. And peace is an atmosphere. Amen. Because you have a strong spirit, you create a strong atmosphere. You get up in the morning and you get up grumpy. And it seems that everybody else in the house is grumpy. It's because you've changed the atmosphere. It's you that's changed the atmosphere. It's not the people. It's you that's changed the atmosphere. Amen? But if you get up full of peace, full of love, full of joy, the atmosphere changes there. Are you with me? You know, it's like your kids can get up, and this never happened to my kids, but they can change the atmosphere in the house in a moment of time. You know what I'm saying? It's the power of the Spirit. And if we have an atmosphere that's filled with peace, love, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that's what will pervade our whole atmosphere, wherever we are. Amen? So the word goes on to say this in verse... Christ has brought into a place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Thank you, Jesus. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and his hope will not lead to disappointment. You know, no matter what happens, your hope shouldn't lead to disappointment. Your hope should never be extinguished. Your hope should stay filled. You should be filled with hope, knowing that that thing that God has promised will come to pass. No matter if it's financial, if it's healing, if it's physical, whatever it is, your hope should not be extinguished. You don't let your hope lead you to disappointment, but it's going to lead you to the place of eternal, everlasting peace. That's where your hope's going to take you. Amen. So why would that be? For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. The Holy Spirit has filled our hearts with his love. Amen. So you've got to know God to know love. So it's like if you change the spelling there from K-N-O-W to N-O, know God, know love. No God, no peace. No God, no victory. No God, no miracles. You with me? Just changing the spelling. And so we need to know God, K-N-O-W, to know love, to know peace, to know victory, to know joy, to know the hope that's everlasting. Amen? Are you hearing me this morning? Amen. Let me tell you what the word peace is in the Greek. The peace is the Greek word in the Strong's Concordance, number 1515, is Irene, or Irene. And it means this. It means to join, literally or figuratively, by implication, prosperity. Peace means prosperity. One peace, quietness, rest, set at one again, a state of national tranquility, exemption from the rage and havoc of war, peace between individuals, harmony, concord, security, safety, prosperity, felicity, because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. Peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. It sounds like our government. It sounds like the Parliament, doesn't it? Not. You see, that peace and harmony makes things safe and prosperous. So God brings peace to make us prosperous and safe. And then it says, of the Messiah's peace, the way that leads to peace, salvation of Christianity, the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. The tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. If I was to ask you right now, if you were to die in the next 10 seconds, are you assured of your salvation? Are you sure that you would go straight to heaven? How many of you could put your hand up right now and say, I know that I would go straight to heaven? You see, if you don't know that, then you're not in that tranquil, peaceful state of assurance of your salvation through Christ. Church, we've got to know that even if someone took a cricket bat and beat you to a greasy spot in the floor, you would still know, you would still say, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. If they tried to make you deny Christ, you would not deny Christ because you know that you are saved, that salvation is your portion, that one day you're going to just leave this world and be in heaven with our Father God. Amen. That's the assurance that we need to have. I want to tell you that I've met people that couldn't say, I'm sure of that. And that means if you're not sure of it, you've got to make sure of that. You say, well, how can I make sure of it? You say, Father, forgive me. I'll tell you a story. When I came to this country, some people from South Africa said, my parents live in Glasgow. Can you go and see them? When I went to see them, they were in their late 70s. The mother had fallen off a pavement, broke her ankle and broke her wrist. And the dad had emphysema and had only one lung. And he was on sprays all the time. So I went there, prayed for them, and they both said they received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Well, the mother definitely did. And her healing came quickly. The dad, after a few years, he reached up to close the top window in his living room, and the lung that he did have burst. So I hear about it when he's rushed to the ICU in Glasgow, and I go to the ICU and see him there, and he's got a big pipe going into where the lung was and a big pipe coming out his back, and it's bubbling away in a bucket here behind him. And he says, I'm so glad you came. He says, I've got something to confess to you. This was the first things he said. I says, what is it? He says, I lied to you about my salvation. I didn't. I just said that I would receive Jesus, but I never did. He says, but I want to do it now. I want to ask Jesus into my life as my Lord and Savior, because he was now on the place where he was so close to death. So I prayed for him, and he was assured of his salvation. And God healed him, and he lived for another 8 years before he went to be with Jesus. Amen. Amen. But you see, it's at the point, it's that crux of life where you're between life and death. Are you sure of your salvation? Yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. No doubt about it. I don't have any fear. You see, death, there's no fear in death when you know your salvation. You don't worry about dying when you know you're saved. You know that God's got a plan for you, and that plan will be fulfilled in your life. And at the end of that plan is your time. It's appointed man wants to die, and then what happens after that? The judgment. Bless God that you know your Savior, that you know who your Savior is, and you know that you are saved. You see, that's the key to peace. The blessed, the can, the soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so, fearing nothing from God, I'm still reading the meaning of Irene, or peace. And so, fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot, of whatever sort that is, the blessed state of devout and upright men after death. So, that's where God wants us to get to, where we are totally assured and content. You see, godliness with contentment is great gain. People without contentment are not peaceful. There is no peace in someone that's not content. I can't sit down. We've got a neighbor. I was speaking to her the other day. I get up. I go to the gym at 7 in the morning. She's painting her wall. And I said, "What are you doing?" She says, "Painting the wall." I know, it's a stupid question. It's like when you phone someone in their home phone and you say, "Where are you?" So I said, "What are you doing?" She says, "Oh, you know, I'm up at 4 in the morning." I says, "Why?" She says, "Well, I just have to get up. I have to be doing something all the time. I have to be doing something all the time." No contentment. Do you know what I'm saying? We need to be able to be content. So the first sign of no peace is no contentment. You've got to be content in what you're doing, and you can only be content when you're working towards the plan and purpose of God in your life. That's the only time you'll be content, is when you're working according to God's plan and purpose for your life. And that's where your contentment will come from. We've got to be ever mindful of these three things. Number one, God exists and is a being of infinite love. God exists and is a being of infinite love. Number two, the Bible is his divine revelation to mankind. Don't let anyone tell you anything else. You've got to be convinced of that. Number three, God's way of life works and brings great blessing to those who follow it. Amen. I was thinking on this message, I was thinking on a song by Bob Dylan, and it's almost a prophetic song, and it's the eve of destruction. How many of you know that song? Hands up if you know that song. Well, could you just sing it for us? It goes like this. The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over again that don't you believe that we're on the eve of destruction? Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? And can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you. And you tell me over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. I listened to John Hagee this morning. How many of you know who John Hagee is? And he's got a new series. It's called The End of the Game of Thrones. The End Game of Thrones, or The End of the Game of Thrones. And he was talking about how close we are to Jesus Christ coming back. And, you know, with what's happening in different parts of the world, and we don't focus on them, but we keep our focus on peace. But these things are real that's happening in the world today. America gave Iran, under the Obama administration, $150 billion to help them with their nuclear program. Go figure. Russia made a pact with Syria and Iran. North Korea are building nuclear warheads. You know, we are on the eve of destruction. But are we ready? No matter what happens, are you ready? Are you ready? Can you say today, I'm ready. I'm at peace. I know God is my Savior. I know that one day I'll be with him for eternity. But we know we need to, from here to there, what have we got to do? James 1 verse 2 says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So, troubles will come, and whatever kind they are, consider it as an opportunity for great joy. Hallelujah. Yes. Consider it as an opportunity for great joy. That's when we should praise God. That's when we should worship God. That's last week's message. If you haven't heard, if you weren't here for it, you need to listen to it in the YouTube or podcast, and you need to get the import of that. Be thankful and all things give thanks. Amen. When you start giving thanks for things, you can still be an up person in a down world. You can be a person that people want to be around because you're full of joy and you're full of peace and you're full of thankfulness. You know, when Tom's mother passed away, the matron and her assistant in Moorburn Manor said, you know, they see death every day in these homes, nursing homes. And they said, when Femi passed, there was no fear in her. She was totally at peace. That's the difference. When you know Jesus, when you pass, you're just changing location and you're totally at peace. Amen. Amen. That's when you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And so, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. And when it's fully developed, you see, people don't get what faith promises them. People don't get what God promises them because they pray and they expect God to bring it like Amazon Prime the next morning. It's not going to happen like that. It may happen like that, but you've got to endure. Don't lose sight of the promise. You endure that so that your endurance will be fully developed. Listen, guys, it doesn't matter what happens. You and God are a majority. You and God are a majority. Not you and your wife, although that gives you more spiritual strength, but you and God together are the ones that's in the battle, because it's you and God that will stand together face to face one day. And as long as your heart's right and you've served God according to his word, there's entrance into, and it's the entrance is there. It's the reward that differs. And thank God that we can have a crown that is filled with jewels because we have saved others from death. Amen. Church, we got to do something, and it's peace that will attract people to you and to your family and to your church. Listen, a lot of people want to leave a lot of young people want to leave home when they're very young because of the atmosphere in the home. They're not leaving you, they're leaving the atmosphere. If there's an atmosphere of peace, people won't want to leave it. They'll want to be there all the time in that atmosphere of peace. Amen. So we got to create an atmosphere of peace. And this church is a place where the peace of God is. And this church is a place where miracles happen. If you were here last week, you saw miracles. Miracles happen. It's a place where your prayers are answered and you meet with other believers who all believe the same thing. Amen. So we're going to get into that more next week and the weeks following. So let's just pray right now.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.